Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
But Deuteronomy, the Hebrew title Deuteronomy, it has to do with the words. It comes from the Hebrew meaning has to do with the words. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1, it will say, these are the words. These are the words. Perhaps you've heard the statement, this is the way. Now, that wasn't a Star Wars thing. The Bible talked about this is the way, walk ye in it, long before Star Wars showed up. But this is the way. These are the words. Deuteronomy also, it means the law a second time, or the second law. It doesn't mean that it's somehow in addition to the first law. Here's all these added ones. Do you remember that the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years and the older generation passed away? So this new generation would need to hear the law a second time, which for them would very possibly be the first time. Deuteronomy covers about 2 months. The majority of it has to do with these 4 weeks of discourse that Moses is going to recite to the congregation. And at the end, the last chapter, you'll see this little phrase of how Moses dies and they mourned for him for another month. And so the text and the discourse, what he shares with the people, that's about somewhere between 1 and 4 weeks. And then it comes to Moses' death and they mourn for him for 30 days. So it's also been referred to, or appropriately referred to, as a book of remembrance. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul will write, he'll say this, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it's safe. Paul's going to repeat some things to the Philippians. Peter will say the same thing in 2 Peter 1, 12. He says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Peter and Paul are both saying in the New Testament, listen, you've heard this and you're going to hear it again. And it's not grievous, it's not tedious for us to tell you this again, but Paul will say, for you it is safe. It's good to be reminded. It's good to hear this again. It's essential that we don't forget these things, but it's also essential that the next generation, and that's what I want to talk to you about, that our responsibility to the next generation, knows these things. What would be the point of possessing the promised land if the generation that inherits the promised land becomes as wicked as the current inhabitants? What would be the point of possessing the promised land if those who possess it become as wicked as those who are currently in it? Leviticus, if we think about the book of Leviticus as for the priests, we think about the book of Deuteronomy as for the laity or for the people. The book of Deuteronomy for the people were included in that. Of all the books that could have been quoted by Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness by the enemy, remember when he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. He said it 3 times. Do you know what book he was quoting? Joshua. No. Deuteronomy. That's right. You were right. Well done, well done. He's quoting the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 1:6. Says this, and we're headed towards chapter 3. But Deuteronomy, as Moses begins this discourse, he says this, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6, the Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Mount Horeb is the same as Mount Sinai. So as they're there, this is where Moses picks things up for them to hear. Doesn't talk about Egypt, doesn't talk about how bad it was there, doesn't talk about the deliverance, Passover, plagues, all of that. He starts here in Deuteronomy after they had been set free. In Mount Sinai, says, you've dwelt here long enough. Verse 26 of the same chapter, chapter 1, he's going to start to recount the last 40-ish years. Nevertheless, verse 26 of Deuteronomy chapter 1 says this, nevertheless, you would not go up. He's talking about going into the promised land. You would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents. And that caused me pause this week to even think about not just complaining in the assembly, but in your tents, God was listening. You complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us up out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anak, and there's giants in the land. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or be afraid of him. So he's recounting what happened. And the Lord your God, he said this, Moses, the Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord God carried you as a man carries his son all the way you went until you came to this place. And then look at this phrase, because it's absolutely pivotal in our Christianity, in our New Testament relationship with the Lord. Watch what it says. Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God. That this is Moses' charge against them. His explanation of what happened. All of this, you saw how God carried you, how he delivered you. But for all that he did, you did not. Doesn't say obey him, doesn't say follow him, doesn't say. He says this phrase, you did not believe. You see, it was not a breach of a commandment that kept the people from inheriting the promised land. It wasn't the golden calf. It wasn't idolatry. They did not believe. Moses said that's what kept you out. Evidenced in their rebellion, they turned away, want a new leader. They never entered the kingdom. It wasn't that somehow it was too great of a distance to get from where they were to where they were going. Scripture tells us it's an 11 days journey. And there's this phrase that I wanted to just touch on before we get to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Because so often I'm tempted to be involved in something that I should not be. Perhaps you are too. Watch what this says. Part of their wilderness journey, they're going to go by the territory of Esau. And as they do this, the Lord says, watch yourself carefully. Verse 5 of chapter 2. Deuteronomy 2, verse 5 says this. Talking about Esau, do not meddle with them. For I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as one footstep. Not one step. Do not cross this line. Because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. He says this phrase, don't meddle with them. Don't meddle with them. Don't stir up battles you don't need to fight. Don't meddle with your brothers. Don't meddle with what is not your inheritance. And sometimes I can be tempted when I see a church doing something over there or a preacher saying something over here and I have just had to back up and say, that is not my inheritance. I'm not going to meddle with my brother. My assignment is here with these people. Don't meddle in things that aren't any of your business. And for me, that has saved me. Be focused on my assignment. Don't meddle with what's not your inheritance. Do you remember they talked about the land being filled with giants? That was one of the problems that the 10 spies came back and said. And Joshua and Caleb would say, yeah, there's giants, but we can take them. But there was giants in the land. Do you know they discovered giants on this side of the Jordan before they crossed over as well? And God had told them, do not fear these giants either. Their fear was understandable. It just wasn't justifiable. Because God had said, don't be afraid. I'm going to give you the victory. Their fear was understandable. I get it. We get it. Look, really scary. Understandable, but not justified because they had the word of the Lord that says, I'm going to give you the land and I'm going to give you victory. I will fight for you. And God picked this man named Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. Joshua had been there before. We've been there. We've tried that before. I've lived through that. Things didn't go so well. But God had promised him victory. Joshua is going to be the one that goes before the people to bring them into their inheritance. And that's a phrase we're going to hear again. He is going to be the one who will lead the people ahead into the promised land. He's going to lead them into their inheritance. What the Father has for them. Their inheritance. It's assigned to them. Joshua will go before. That's because leaders lead. But can you imagine the weight of this on Joshua? What Moses didn't do, you're going to do. Moses, what he didn't do, what he didn't fulfill, what he was what he was not allowed to do. Joshua, you're going to be the one. Joshua, the people will inherit what God has for them because of you. That's a pretty big weight. That has to do with destiny and mandate and purpose. His name means salvation, but Moses changed his name to actually mean Yahweh or God is salvation. The mandate on his life was to bring people into the promises of God, into their inheritance. I wonder if that could extend to us, just before we get to Deuteronomy chapter 3. I wonder if that could extend to us, that we could be those who would help bring people into the promises that God has for them. Now, I said leaders lead. Joshua lead, leaders lead. That's what they do. And so somehow it would have to be that you've already experienced. If you're going to lead someone to Christ, the promise of eternal life, of all the things, may we lead people into the promise of eternal life. But if you're going to do that, you've already had to experience that. But once you have, then you and I have been commissioned by Jesus, go and make disciples of all nations. Scripture will tell us in Corinthians that we've been all given the ministry of reconciliation, not just John and Shauna. We've all been given this ministry of reconciliation to make people friends again, that we would be a part of that. And once that happens, I believe it's bringing people into a relationship with Jesus to inherit the promise of eternal life. But I think we need to be about seeing people experience the abundant life that they have in Christ. Eternal life and then abundant life. We're going to pray about that at the end of the service. But here we are, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28. It says, in preparation for Joshua fulfilling his role, Moses needs to do three things. Deuteronomy 3:28, but command Joshua, this is what he says, just don't be distracted, don't miss this moment. Deuteronomy 3:28, but command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you see. He is going to cause them to inherit the land. But you need to do this. You need to command him, you need to encourage him, and you need to strengthen him. Three things. We're going to focus on these three things, and then we're going to wrap things up in prayer. Number one, Moses to Joshua. Hearing this from God, you need to command him. Command, it means give him this charge, this imperative, an order. There is a forcefulness about what Moses is going to do. Command him. This verse doesn't specify what he was to command him. It doesn't give the list, command Joshua these 8 points of strategy for success. Doesn't say, command him. But we would know it would have to do with following the Lord and leading the people. Command Joshua. There is something about speaking with strength and authority that we need to do speaking into a next generation. This is Moses. His watch is almost over. It's now going to be Joshua's watch. It's going to be his assignment, not Moses. About passing the baton, about passing the torch. We need to be able to speak with authority and with strength. This is my watch, but it's about to become your watch. God has had me in a role of leading, but your time is now to lead. And I don't get the picture that Moses said this to Joshua. Hey, sit down, just grab a coffee. I'd like to talk to you about some suggestions that I have that maybe you might want to consider about leading the people. It says, command Joshua. I think it's a little bit like when Paul talked to his young son in the faith. It wasn't his biological son. It was his son in the faith, Timothy. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5 says this, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom. Listen to this charge. I charge you before God and Jesus Christ, who will appear, who will judge the living and the dead His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering, patience, mercy, long-suffering, and teaching. For the time will come, he says, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This charge, this command that Paul is giving Timothy, I can't help but think this is the kind of thing that Moses would have said to Joshua when he says, command him, I charge you before God the Father. Preach the word, convince, exhort. Their ears are going to turn to fables. Get them on the truth. And I think for you and for me, for us, as spiritual moms and dads, spiritual authority, who do we have oversight of? Who are we a mentor to? By virtue of your office or by virtue of your relationship? Who's looking to you? Who are you bringing along? We could call it discipleship. Who are you investing in? Would you give a charge to them with clarity? Follow the Lord. I would hate for anyone to hear that I'm thinking you should go nuts with this and go running around and start charging everyone that you have influence or oversight of, commanding like Moses on the mountain. The charge isn't to follow you. The charge is to follow the Lord's. And it's not to meet up to our standards. You need to shape up. You need to ship up. You need to just... It's not this judgmental. Even Paul wrote to Timothy about Jesus who will judge. But it's this charge. Follow the Lord. Jesus said it very strongly, and he said it very tenderly. But with the disciples, you could hear the tone when he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. You can hear the tenderness, the kindness, but you can hear the strength. He didn't say a new suggestion. Here's a few thoughts I'm going to leave. Think on a couple of these. A new commandment I give to you, love one another. I'm thinking of those who work with our kids. May they be able to give them the charge of be excellent at what is good and be innocent of evil. May we be able to tell them, let no one look down on you because you're young, but be an example to believers. Walk worthy of your calling of which the Lord has called you. When sinners entice you, say no. May we be able to speak God's voice, which has to do with his word and his tone, to the next generation. But in order to do it with authenticity and effectiveness, we need to be living it. We need to be following the Lord. Lead by example. Secondly, he said, command him. He said, encourage him. Encourage Joshua. Joshua needed an impartation of courage. And as we follow the book of Joshua, we would see in the beginning pages over and over, be strong in the Lord. Joshua, do not fear. Joshua had some struggles that he needed to be encouraged and strengthened in. There had been some depletion of Joshua's courage. When you think about Joshua, he had been here before in the promised land. When he came back and said, follow me, we can go, they turned on him. They didn't follow him last time. The word encourage, it means to restore and to rebuild and to repair. Here it means to make bold, to impart courage. Now, he was at this place 40 years ago. He was pretty courageous then. But now, God's saying to Moses, you need to encourage him. Because over these last 40 years of trudging, there has been an erosion of courage. Now Moses, who is about to die without entering the promised land, is being told, encourage Joshua. And what I like about this story is God doesn't just bippity-boppity-boo, wave a magic wand, and there's an impartation of courage for Joshua. Instead, he tells Moses, you encourage him. You encourage him. You be the one who speaks courage, who builds courage into him. And so we have a role to play in this next generation. We need to encourage the next leaders. We need to encourage those we have influence on or have oversight of. We need to be about repairing people and restoring people and building and rebuilding people. The power of death and life is in the tongue. And Scripture says it that way, in that order, the power of death and life. It's so much easier to speak death. May we speak life to the next generation. And not just someone, hey, you're doing good. But something along the lines of, I believe in you, and I'm with you. You can do this. And when we think about this, when I talk about the next generation, Joshua wasn't a kid. It's been 40 years. He's probably somewhere near 20 when he entered the promised land. So we're nigh on getting the seniors discount at Denny's. He's older. Encourage him. Build him up. Strengthen him. Because he's going to be the one who's going to take the people into the promised land, into the promises that God has for them. Third thing, strengthen, encourage, and command, encourage, and then lastly, strengthen. Strengthen, it has to do with we're going to hold fast to a course. You're not going to be moved. It has to do with standing firm, hardening, assuring. It means this, make obstinate, so that when there are obstacles, you can get through. Hold fast to the confession of your faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hold fast. Don't just hold on for dear life. Hold fast. Strengthen Joshua. Has a determination. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. We sang it last week at the baptism. I have decided to follow Jesus, though none go with me, the cross before me, the world behind me. I have decided to follow Jesus. Strengthen the next generation to follow him. Strength comes from the presence of the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Strength comes from knowing his word, being able to strongly say to the enemy, it is written. Joshua, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. You're going to be prosperous and successful. Psalm 1 talks about blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it they meditate day and night. They'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. There's not going to be a withering. There's not going to be a waning. There's going to be a fruitfulness that will come. That strength comes from knowing the Lord. They that know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. It's the strengthening. Ephesians talks about be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on his whole armor that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, then stand some more, because there's a strength that you have. There's no credibility on who wrote this. Various authors are attributed to it. But nonetheless, let's go with author unknown. The Fellowship of the Unashamed. I am part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I now live by his presence, lean by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My pace is set, my gait is fast. My goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lulled, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until heaven returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear. Strengthen Joshua. Be strengthened for your task. Be obstinate in the midst of obstacles. God told Moses, command Joshua, encourage Joshua, strengthen Joshua. Command Joshua from the word of God. Encourage Joshua from the word of God. Strengthen Joshua with the word of God. For he will go before the people and bring them into the promise that I have for them. He will bring them in to inherit the promise I have for them. May we be those who give a clear charge to the next generation of encouragement and strength, that they might see the people of God inherit all that he has for us. We've been praying since beginning of July, 61 days all the way through to the end of August, 61 days of praying, Lord, fill me, lead me. As we hit September, September 10th, for our 61st anniversary, we're celebrating, we're looking to return from this summer in the power of the Holy Spirit. Looking to Jesus, who said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me too. On September 10th, we're going to look forward to walking in the power and the presence that God has for us as we pray all summer long, Lord, fill me, Lord, lead me. As I was praying that this week, I felt just so arrested because I had been praying, Lord, fill me, lead me, fill me, lead me. And I felt like the Lord just so stopped me and said, Barry, pray that for others too. I've been so focused on, Lord, fill me, lead me, fill me, lead me. Coming before him, just crying out, God, fill me. God, lead me. And I think that for the next generation, may we be praying, Lord, Lord, fill them. Lord, lead them. They need an encounter. That life-changing message of the gospel, the life-changing, not just eternal life, but abundant life that God has for them. Lord, fill them, lead them, that they may discover how to walk in the power of your Spirit, which includes the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. We don't try to particularly avoid persecution. We expect it. And we're ready for it. For the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. The victory is his. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're watching online. And you heard me talk about the promise of eternal life and this abundant life. But maybe you've never accepted the free gift of salvation that God has for you. Each one of us has sinned. We deserve the penalty of sin, which is, Scripture tells us, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we come to him and we ask God to forgive us. Sometimes there's a sin that is just so big in our minds. God, this is between us. Other times it's just everything. I've lived a life apart and away from you, but I need you to forgive me. I'm coming to you to forgive me. And he is all about that. So with a friend yesterday for breakfast, and he was telling me that God is all about redemption. All about redemption. About buying back, about redeeming. Jesus did that on the cross. He bought us back. He paid the penalty for our sin. He paid it. We can just come to him. Maybe you've never asked Jesus into your life. Or maybe you have and you haven't been walking with him. Somehow there's been a distance. I know people, in many conversations I've had with people and seen just how they never left church. They never left God. They just somehow stopped walking with him. It wasn't an intentional choice, but somehow they just fell off the path that he has for them. And there's a distance, and life's not like what it used to be. That can change today. There can be a fresh start. So if that's you, if you're listening online, if you're here in the building, you'd like a fresh start with the Lord, whether you prayed this before, if you've never prayed it, or haven't prayed it in a long time, I'm just going to lead us in a prayer, and you can repeat these words so much more than just from your mouth, but from your heart. And there's a fresh start for each one of us today. It goes like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe you rose to life again and now offer me a new life with you. I ask you to forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from the inside out. I invite you into my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I'd sure love to visit with you. I'd love to hear your story. I'd love to help in any way that I can, even by putting a Bible in your hands if you don't have one. Just praying with you, believing God for this new, fresh start that's begun today.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.